Okay, we are up to the Mishnah on Yud Zayin Amabez. Mishnah Yud Zayin Amabez. We have finished the Yud Chesvarim. Hashem will come back to them one day. And now we are up to the back to Masechah Shabbos. And the rest of the Perek, we will be discussing different halachos of Erev Shabbos. Again, the rest of much of the beginning is similar to the Shulchan Aruch. It's chronological. And then the next paragraph is going to be what could you light candles with, what can't, Baba Malikin. It's all about Halakas Neiris, which is also something that happens Erev Shabbos. And then the third paragraph is all about issues of leaving pots on the fire, third and fourth paragraph, leaving pots on the fire before Shabbos, returning them right when Shabbos starts. And then it says, what are you allowed to go out with on Shabbos or not? So again, it's all chronological, all the way to Daf Ayin Gimel, where it has the Malachas. Okay, before that, we have now the Mishnah. Yuzayin Amabes. Beishamei Omrim. And you'll see that the rest of the Perek is, most of it is a machlokas between Beishamei and Beis Hillel, but various issues. Beishamei Omrim, Mein Shorin, Diyovis, Samanim, Becharshinin, Ela Kedei, Sheyashiru, Mib Od Yom. Beishamei says, you're not allowed to soak Diyo, ink, for Samamanim, another type of ingredients for ink. Becharshinim usually means animal fodder, food that's going to be used for animals, but the what you're trying to do here, as will become clear in the Gemara, is you're soaking them, and when the ingredients get soaked a little bit, they come together in one mush, in one glob, and therefore the malacha that might be violated is the malacha of lush, the malacha of kneading, with a K. So that's even though when you first learn the Mishnah, what do you mean soaking yo? It sounds like you're coloring the water, but it's clear from the Gemara. We're not talking about Soveya yet until later. This first line of the Mishnah is talking about an issue of lush. Beis Shammai says, you're not allowed to start the malacha even before Shabbos unless it will be soaked and the process will be done mi be'od yom, from Friday already. As we'll see, many of the cases in this Mishnah has to do with a concept called Shvisas Kalim. I'm not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. That's clear. My family is not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. I have to prevent my children from doing malacha on Shabbos. As we will see in a minute, my animals are not allowed to do malacha on Shabbos. A non-Jew is not allowed to do a malacha for me on Shabbos. Some of these are derisa, some of these are derabanan. But also, what about my kalim doing work for me on Shabbos? I didn't start it. It's just going to be on. So it's going to be on Shabbos, but I'm not going to do the malacha on Shabbos. My kli is going to work. My wagon, my machine. Is that allowed to happen on Shabbos? Says Beishama, the pashas of the Mishnah, we'll get to the Gemara in a few minutes. The pashas of the Mishnah is, that's the machlokas behind much of what Beishama and Beishalol here say. Beishama says, you can't have your pot, which is doing a malacha of lush, in this case, of kneading, that is not allowed to happen on Shabbos. Therefore, if you want to soak it before Shabbos, it has to be done, mi be'od yom, before Shabbos starts. Ubeishalol matirim, Beishalol says, no way, mutter. There's no halacha of shvisas kalim. There's a halacha of Shvisas Behema. It says in the Torah, Atu Vanecho Vitcha Atcha Vamascha Ubehemtecha Vegerecha Shebesherecha. It doesn't say Kalim. It doesn't say Bekelcha. Right? It doesn't say that. So therefore, there's no halacha of Shvisas Kalim. That's machlokas number one. Machlokas number two. Beishamai Omrim Einosnin Unin Shel Pishton Latocha Tanur Elakadeisha Yavhilu Miba Odiom. You're not allowed to put a bundle of Pishton, a bundle of flax, into the tanur, into the oven, unless it gets yahavhilu. From the word hevel means hot, and the moisture was taken out. Mi ba'od yom. Rashi says this is part of the cleaning process. That after you process the flax, in order to make it whiter, you put it into the oven and got all the liquid out. So also that's halacha of libun, that malacha. So again, Beis Shammai says it has to be done mi ba'od yom. The lowest at semer lo yore ela kadei shiklut ha'ayin. And also, you're not allowed to put wool into a yore, into a big pot, into a cauldron. And you're going to dye it there, whatever color is in the pot. Yeah, it has to be colored. The yiklut ha'ayin means the color has to be gotten before Shabbos. Ubeisela matirin. And in all these cases, Beisela says mutter. Again, the pashtus is because he does not hold of the halacha of the iser of shvisas kalim. Mutter, no problem. Because again, you started the malacha before Shabbos. So something that happens on Shabbos, that's not your problem. Beishamai Omrim, Ein Parson, Mitsudos, Chaya, Va'ofos, V'dagim. Just by the way, this relates, we're going to relate to a little bit later, the whole issue of Shabbos clocks. Is that like Shvisas Kalim? You know, is that like your malacha? Is that worse than Shvisas Kalim? Or Moshe has a tshuva that he's not into Shabbos clocks at all, right? Even for lights. Other poskim are more makel. The question is, so what is that considered? You're doing something before Shabbos that's clicking in on Shabbos. Is that a regular halacha shezus kalim and we're makel by many halachas, or is that worse because something is happening on Shabbos? Okay, hopefully we'll get to it a little bit. Beishamay omrim, ein person mitsudos chaya va'ofos v'dagim, ela kadesh yetsudu mi v'od yom. Josh, I'm sorry, can you give me an aruch ha-shulchan for Shabbos? Chelik base. So Beishamay says, one is not allowed to spread traps. You can't spread a trap on Erev Shabbos unless, and here's the key line, Ela Kadesha Yatsudu mi ba'od yom. Thank you. Unless it will for sure, the animal for sure will be trapped mi ba'od yom from Friday. So what does that mean? It will surely be trapped on Friday. And Beis Hillel Atir, and Beis Hillel Matirs that. So what exactly does that mean? That the animal will be trapped by Friday. That what, you put it with enough time for the possibility? What does that mean? That you put out a trap. Put out a trap on Friday afternoon. So what exactly does that mean? So look at Tosfos. Tosfos, ain't person. Oh, very important Tosfos. Tosfos says, if you look at all these other cases of the Mishnah, there's a gzeira. The gzeira is because if you would do any of these actions on Shabbos itself, that would be a malacha daraisa. If you would actually knead, it would be a malacha daraisa. If you'd actually color, if you'd actually whiten. Tosfos says, if you put out a trap on Shabbos, that's not a nisa daraisa. That's trap. Oh, no, trapping is, I jump on an animal and I trap it. I actively take part. But Tosfos says, if you put out a trap on Shabbos, that's not, and then the animal comes not at that moment. That's not a malacha daraisa. So what are we doing here? You can't put out the trap. This is a darabanan. What's going on here? Says Tosfos, we call makom gazru lifrosh mitzuta. Still, Chazal said you can't put out a trap on Friday. Because it could be that putting out a trap is going to be a malacha daraisa. What case? Kigon shebishas prisaso yilkod. For example, at the moment, let's just translate the words. At the moment that you put it out, it gets caught. That's what it says in Tosefta. A person besuta lebehemo leofen nechras atocha chayiv. If you put it out and it gets caught, chayiv. What exactly does Tosefta mean with those words? Shebishas prisaso yilkod. At the moment that you put it out, it will become caught. So that is a machlokas achron, and what exactly does Tosfos mean? The Avnei Nezer has a tremendous chiddush where he says in Siman Shin Pei Tes, he says, you know what it means? If you think about trapping, and the Aruch HaShulchan says this. I wanted to read that to you first in Shin Tezayin, and then I'll get to this machlokas about Tosfos. The Aruch HaShulchan in Shin Tezayin says, Mishunehi Melechas Tseida Mikol HaMelachos. Tseida is unique. Think about the malacha of trapping. Tzebachol Melachos Tzorach Lasos HaMelacha. By every malacha, you have to do the malacha. But usually grama, right, if I do something in an indirect way, that's going to be pater. It's going to be a derabanan, but it's going to be pater. But seida, what do? I go and I close the door to a trap and the animal's inside. I did a direct act. So it's grama-ish. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, and we've discussed a little bit of this in the past, some malachos are kind of grama-ish, but inherently that's what they are. But says the Aruch HaShulchan, that makes Seida different. With that background, let's see this machlokas now. There's a machlokas. What does Tosfos mean? It says, Tosfos says, if you put out a trap, stam on Shabbos, let's say I know we have a place, somebody has a mouse problem, somebody has a bug problem, they put out a trap on Shabbos. So is that a malacha d'oraisa? Is that a malacha d'rabanan? Is that mutter? So it says Tosfos, look, or it wouldn't be a malacha d'oraisa, but there are times that it could be d'oraisa. If b'shas Prisa nitzod. What does that mean? So the Avnei Nezer says, Alkei nira de mishuna malacha seida mishar malachas and asus bizman. Seida is even different than other malachas that take time, like mevashel. If you put something on the fire and then it's going to cook in an hour, and let's say you take it off the fire before it cooks, have you done it daraisa? No, that's what we had on Daf Gimel. You saved it. You're allowed to take it there in order to prevent yourself from doing a malacha. Says the Avnei Nezer, Vilut Seida, Imhem Mitsuda, Ba'ofan Sheba Vadei Titzon. If you put a trap in a place where there are tons of animals, and it's for sure going to cause an animal to get caught, you're Chayiv Midaraisa at that moment, says the Avnei Nezer. Even if the animal doesn't get caught, even if somebody takes away the trap, at the second that you put the trap in a place that Bavadai, the animal's going to get caught, says the Avnei Nezer, you're Chayiv Midaraisa Misham Seida. It's considered Nitzot already. Even if you took away the trap, lo yol shakar neschayev. An amazing chiddush. That is how the Avnei Nezer interprets these three words of Tosfos. That if you b'shas b'risas yilkod, that b'vadei will be nilka. Not that it actually happened. Other Achronim don't like to go that far. The Sfas Emes and others here say, no, it just means that if at the moment that you put the trap, the animal gets caught at that second. Doesn't mean that Bavade it will. But if it gets caught at the moment, so that's a direct act. Meaning, as you're putting up a fly paper, you know, a fly comes and gets caught exactly at that moment. That's going to be a daraisa. But if it only happens later, it's a time delay. This is within Beis Shammai, but it has ramifications for the Malacha of Sud in general. This is described, that principle of line of Tosas might even be within Beis Hillel, because he's saying, when would it be daraisa? The only issue that Beis Shammai is that you're not allowed to do this on Erev Shabbos. According to Beis Hillel, what is he matir? You're doing this on Erev Shabbos. So what, it'll be considered caught on Erev Shabbos? I mean, Erev Shabbos, you're allowed to do it. That's the issue.
So it's the setting of the trap that initiates the
same. Right, so he discusses then, so what's the machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, if it's all considered Erev Shabbos or not. Okay, so now let's get back to the Mishnah. Fourth bottom line, Beis Shammai Yomer, a mochri. So that was all issues of Shvisas Kalim. Now we have another issue, not related to Shvisas Kalim, but a similar. Beis Shammai Yomrim, ein mochrin lenachri. You're not allowed to sell something to a non-Jew. Ein toan enimo, or you're not allowed to help him put something on his donkey. Ein magbihin alav, and you're not allowed to lift something up on him, lift up a load on him. Ela kadesha yiga lamakum karov. All these are usher to do on Erev Shabbos, says Beis Shammai, unless you're giving him enough time to be able to get to his destination before Shabbos. Rashi here says, why, second to last Rashi, denira kimisayo laholach b'Shabbos. Why is this usher, says Beis Shammai? Because it appears as if you're helping him take something on Shabbos. It appears that you're helping him. In other words, that lets a guy's allowed to do malach on Shabbos. What's the problem here? So the simple interpretation, as we're going to see in the Gemara, is that it'll appear that he's doing malacha for you on Shabbos. And the non-Jew, we know there's an Isser Durabanan called Amir La'akum. Amir La'akum, a non-Jew is not allowed to do malacha for me on Shabbos. And even though it's called Amir La'akum, even if I say nothing to him on Shabbos, it is still Usser. A non-Jew is not allowed to do malacha for me on Shabbos. That is an Isser Durabanan. There are various reasons given for this halacha. The Rambam in Hilchos Shabbos writes as a gzeira that you might come to do it. If you're allowed to have a worker do it, right, this is the Rambam in Perek Vav, the Rambam says Amir La'akim is Asr Mishum, that you might come to do it yourself. Rashi in Avodah Zarah says, no, nothing to do with that. What do you mean? If your guy does malacha, you're going to come to do it? No, it's an issue of Mimso Chafsecha V'Dabar Dover. Right, we know that it's an Issa Durabanan to be involved in weekday activities, so having a non-Jew do malacha for me on Shabbos, that's an involvement in weekday activities. That's the machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam about Amir La'akim. There is a third opinion that some quote that maybe there's a concept of shlichus, even though there's usually no shlichus by a non-Jew, but some say there's one line in one of the Rishonim that says maybe there's a concept of shlichus for a non-Jew l'chumra. But hopefully at a point in the future we'll be able to discuss Amir La'akim in depth. But here, Beis Shammai at least is saying that you're not allowed to do these all on Erev Shabbos because it looks like a Maris Ayin issue. It looks like a non-Jew is doing malacha for you on Shabbos, and that's not allowed. Ubeis Hillel Matir, and again, Beis Hillel allows you to do it. Beis Shammai Yomer Meinosan Oris LaAvdan Lokelam Lakovis Nachri Ela Kadeshi Yasumi Bod Yom. Beis Shammai says you're not allowed to give leather to LaAvdan, to the tanner, to the one who's going to process it, Lokelam Lakovis Nachri, or clothing to a dry cleaner, to a non-Jewish cleaner, Ela Kadeshi Yasumi Bod Yom, unless they are going to have it done from before Shabbos. Again, this has to do with, it looks like malacha is being done for you on Shabbos, and obviously it has halakha l'maisa ramifications. If you give something to a non-Jew, bring it to the dry cleaners 5 minutes before Shabbos, and then say, and let's say it's in the winter months, so you can pick it up on Monday Shabbos and say, I'm coming to pick this up, you know, right after Shabbos. So, in our dry cleaners, it's probably a worse problem, because there are a lot of Jews that work there. But even a fully non-Jewish one, you know, there's issues. I mean, this is Beis Shammai, But hopefully we'll have a chance to talk about the halakha l'maisa issues about having malacha done for me on Shabbos. Sorry? Mailing a letter issue, that's going to be tomorrow's Daf HaShem. Menachem's going to talk about that. But yeah, mailing a letter has to do with it also. But most of the time we can find kulas there because you don't care when it gets there. You're just putting it in. If you say, I'll pick it up on Tuesday, you know, then you don't, they're not...
Right after Shabbos.
You can't give it in right before Shabbos and pick it up right after Shabbos, no. Ubekulan, in all these cases, Beis Hillel Matir and Hamashemesh. All these cases, Beis Hillel says, no problem, we're not worried. Beis Hillel agrees to the concept of Amir La'akum. Right? But he agrees to that. But he does not agree to the principle that there's going to be a Maris Ayin issue that if you give something, you know, it'll appear that they're doing Malacha for you. So he doesn't agree with that extension. But obviously, he agrees to the concept of Amir La'akum. top of the Amud. Amr Rav Shimon Gamliel, Noag and Ayyub Beis Abba. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, my father's house was Noag. She knows then clay love on Lakovis Nachri, Shloshi Yamin Kodim Lashabbos. That we used to give our white clothing, which took 3 days to clean, Rashi explains. We used to give it to them 3 days before Shabbos. In other words, because the Rashi explains, we were machmer like Beis Shammai. We were machmer like Beis Shammai, that's why we gave it in very early. What's the kasha? Sorry? Oh! Tosfos Yatev. Tosfos Yatev asks in this on this Mishnah, we learned in Maseches Brachos a couple of months ago that Rabbi Tarfin was machmer like Beis Shammai, and he was masachin atzmo. What do you mean machmer like Beis Shammai? We say not allowed. We're 3 days we had in the Gemara, whether you're not yotze, you're chayav misa. It's bad news to be machmer like Beis Shammai. So Tosfos Yatev says, how could he be machmer like Beis Shammai? So the Tosfos Yatev here gives two answers. Number one, he says maybe there's a difference because there Rabbi Tarfin actively, what's called bekum vaaseh, he went and said kriyishma like Beis Shammai said. Here's more of an issue of Sheva Altasa. He didn't give it in right before Shabbos. He didn't do something that Beis Shammai said to do. He just didn't use the heter of Beis Hillel. He gave it in earlier. So maybe there's a difference between Kumva Asay and Sheva Altasa. That's one answer. Another answer is, and that he suggests, is that when do we say that you can't go like Beis Shammai? If there's no halachic, if there's no logic to go like Beis Shammai, Beis Shammai isn't better than Beis Hillel. But in cases where Beis Hillel would say, okay, look, you want to go like Beis Shammai, then even Beis Hillel would agree to that. We had a machlokas in the second to last parak of Brachas about if you forgot the bench, do you have to go back to the place where you ate or not? So Beis Shammai says you have to go back, Beis Hillel says you don't have to go back. But the Gemara there discusses that Beis Hillel agrees, l'chadchila, go back to the place where you bench. So you see, Beis Hillel agrees, if it makes sense to go back, you know, l'chadchila, you go back. So too here. It makes, okay, l'chadchila, it's a nice idea. Over there to say kriyishma in a different way, that's not l'chadchila b'diavet, that's just different. So if it's just different, so then you can't go about like Beis Shammai. But if there's a l'chadchila to go like Beis Shammai, so then one is allowed to. V'shavin elu ve'elu, shetoan and koras beis habad be'igule hagat. Even Beis Shammai agrees though to the following case, that an Erev Shabbos, let's say you have grapes and olives that you have already started to press before Shabbos. So most of the inside liquid is already oozing out of the fruit. So says the Mishnah that you're allowed in the olden days how they used to finish off the process after they got most of the juice out. So they used to, let's say, have one big board and put the grapes and the olives down and then put another big board on top and then as time goes on, slowly the top board will be smushed against the bottom board, and the rest of the liquid will be oozed out. Says Beis Shammai, you're allowed to set this process up on Erev Shabbos. Some of the stuff is going to be oozed out on Shabbos, and we know there's a malacha called dash. There's a malacha that squeezing out fruits on Shabbos is a malacha. By certain fruits, daraisa, by certain drabanan. So how could you do that Erev Shabbos? Beis Shammai says, your kalim have to rest. So the answer is, as Rashi explains here, that the only malacha of dash is to start the liquid from coming out of the fruit. If most of the fruit liquid is already out, then just the last few drops are coming, Rashi says that's not the av malacha of dash, that's not the malacha of dash, and therefore it wouldn't be a problem. That's why Beis Shammai agrees to this specific case. Fine. So Mantana, Gemara. Mantana, Nisinas Mayim Ladiyo Zuhi Shriyasan. The first case of the Mishnah. First case of the Mishnah was, Beis Shammai says that you're not allowed to soak these items in water, the ink ingredients or the karshinim, the animal fodder, you can't soak it unless it gets, you know, all connected and kneaded before Shabbos. So says the Gemara, who is this opinion that says just soaking something in a liquid could come to Lisha, could come to the Malacha of kneading? Amar of Yosef Rebbe, this is Rebbe, right? We discussed this a couple of months ago. Detanya, there's a machlokes about the Malacha of Lush, kneading. There's a machlokas tanoim about the malacha of kneading. Because really there are two stages of the kneading process. There's the step one, putting the liquid and the solid together, the flour and the water coming together in the bowl, step one. Step two, using a utensil to knead it. That's two steps. When you make tuna fish, you put the mayonnaise in, and then you mush it all together. Might not be an exact parallel. Mayonnaise is different than water. But either way, there are always two steps when you're mushing something together. When you take it a liquid to bind the solid. That's the malacha of lush, when you're creating that gush echad. So says Rebbe, even step one is an isur d'oraisa of kneading. Because the binding process starts to happen by itself. Even when you just add the ingredients to each other without the gibul, without the mixing. So therefore, even step one is the araisa. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, ain't a chayiv ashi agabel. You're only chayiv once you actually do the kneading. Step one might be an issa d'rabanan, according to some, but the araisa is only Step two. So suggests the Gemara, so it seems like that our Mishnah is holding like Rebbe. Because what is the Mishnah saying? You can't put it in unless it's done beforehand. So we're not even talking about step two. We're talking about just putting it in. The ingredients have to be added and everything has to be done before Shabbos. That sounds like Shita's Rebbe. That's only, we're only talking about putting in. That can't be done on Shabbos. So if we're worried about an Issa D'Oraisa happening on Shabbos, that sounds like Shita's Rebbe. So Amalei Abaya. Who do we paskin like, by the way? Remember, who do we paskin like? So that's a most Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Yossi, Lakula. Most Rishonim paskin like Rabbi Yossi, and that's how the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin, that you only have Achi Agabel. But the Sefer HaTrum is paskins like Rebbe, and Halacha L'maisa is really not so much difference. Because, as we said, according to Rebbe, even step one is going to be an Issa D'Rabbanan. Right? Because, according to Rebbe, right, even step two might be, even step two might be D'Oraisa, explains the Bir Halacha, that even though it's needed already, but if you need it more, that could also be, that's not called Lisha Achalisha, that's also D'Oraisa. Rabbi Yossi, Eina Chayveshi Yigabel, it could be step one is also Aser Midrabanan. So both of them hold all the steps are Aser. The only question is, what's D'Oraisa, what's D'Rabanan? So Halacha L'maisa doesn't make much of a difference. The Mishnah Berurah discusses that in Simin Shin Chaf Aleph. But the Gemara suggests that doesn't our Mishnah sound like Shitas Rebbe? So I'm going to let you know. The Dilma, maybe I could fit our Mishnah even according to Rabbi Yossi. In other words, even according to the opinion that says you have to actually need it in order to be D'Oraisa, still, maybe that opinion could be the author of our Mishnah, and our Mishnah doesn't even talk about needing. How? The Dilma, Akam Akam Rabbi Yossi El Bakemach Tubar Gibelhu. Our Mishnah is referring to the machlokes between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi, where Rebbe Yossi requires step two is only by a substance which is a bar gibel, which is kneaded nicely, and when you mix it up, it all becomes one nice unit. Aval dyo, delav bar gibelhu emelachayiv. But in the Mishnah, we're talking about dyo, which are ingredients to make ink. So maybe that doesn't knead so well. It's a lav bar gibel. It doesn't come together, even after you mix it up. It doesn't really come together. It's kind of liquidy, and it's not fully liquidy, because then there wouldn't be lush at all. But it's kind of, it's not as much of gush echad, one unit, as other substances. So maybe there, Rebbe Yossi would agree that even step one is a daraisa, because the step two doesn't really do anything. So maybe Rebbe Yossi would agree in our Mishnah, and the difference is because there are different ingredients. So Gemara says, Lo Sakadaydach. No, there's no Havamina, because we have a Braisa that says that even by a Lav Bar Gibel, even by something that doesn't need properly, still he requires step two to be Daraisa. The Tanya, as the Braisa says, Echa notin is a Afer. Whether somebody puts Afer, Afer is ashes. And the Gemara assumes that ashes is Lav Bar Gibel. That if you're mixing ashes with a liquid, it's not going to become, it doesn't become one unit. Vecha notin is a Mayim Ha'achron Chayiv Divrei Rebbe. Rebbe Yosef Bar Yudah Omer Chi Yigabel. Sefer, you see the Machlokas even exists by a lav bar gibel, so you can't have a chilek between the Mishnah and the Braisa. So the Mishnah must be Shita's Rebbe and not Shita's Rebbe Yossi. The Gemara again tries. V'dilma my afer offer to bar gibel. Now maybe afer really means offer, even though it says an aleph ashes, it means offer dirt, which is a bar gibel. The Gemara says no. Hatanya afer, vatanya offer. The Gemara says no. We have two Braises. One says afer, one says offer. So how could you say the afer one means offer? It says two different Braises. The Gemara says midi gabe hadadi tanya. Rhetorical question, what do you mean? It's not the same Braisa that has them two on a list, so they have to be different. Two different Braises. So the Afer one can mean Afer, the Afer one can also mean Afer. But either way, at the end of the day, the Gemara says it could be that the author of our Mishnah is Rabbi Yossi, and the only reason he says you require step two of Lisha is because in the case that he's discussing, it's a bar gibel, something that needs nicely after you manually do it. So that's why you need step two. But it could be that in the Mishnah where it's talking about a lav bar gibel, something that doesn't knead properly after you mix it. So then even Rabbi Yossi would agree that only step one is a problem. Again, lash is a malacha. That's a very important malacha. We discussed it in depth a couple months ago, and it's we have to be careful about it when it comes to tuna fish, when it comes to other things. Know exactly how to do it, what shinuyim to use. Lash is one of those malachas that shinuyim can really help make it mutter. So I want you to remember the halachas of Lush. Two dots. Tana Rabbanan. Poskin mayim legina erev Shabbos im chashecha. So we're talking about malachas on an erev Shabbos. So the Gemara says you're allowed to open your water to your garden on erev Shabbos right before Shabbos. In other words, turn on your sprinkler. You can turn on your sprinkler right before Shabbos. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara. Umis malis vaholechas kol hayom kulo, and the whole day the garden will get filled with water. We're going to get to whether this is Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel. Umanichen mugmar tachas akelim umis garment volchen kolayim kulo. The olden days, they used to put mugmar. We had mugmar in brachos also. They used to put a sweet smelling incense, burn sweet smelling incense, and clothing that was just made or just clean, they used to put above the fire, so the clothing used to smell good. From the it used to be collate, it used to absorb the smell of the spices of these herbs, and then that was the final stage of the processing, the gemar malach of the kalim. So you're allowed to put this stuff under your kalim, under your clothing on erev Shabbos, and the smell will get absorbed all Shabbos. And again, gafres is usually translated as sulfur. You're allowed to put it under kalim. These are different types of kalim. Rashi explains here, when you have, let's say, a kli kesef, you have a silver kli, and you drew a picture, you carved out a picture on the silver kli, in order to make it permanent, they used to, again, do this kind of process, they used to put something on the fire underneath, and the smoke will go up, and it will make permanent the picture on the silver kli. The potential malacha by the mugmar is—it's unclear what would be the iser d'oraisa. Unclear what would be the iser d'oraisa. It just says you're allowed to do this malacha. It might just be purely an issue of shvisas kalim. Your kli is doing work for you in terms of the burning. Burn. It is eventually burning the could be havara, could be bishul of these items. Fine. Umanichin kilar. There is l'chora something d'oraisa going on. Umanichin kilar al gabi ha'ayin v'is polanas al gabi maka umitzrabes v'olechas kolayim kulo. This one though is more difficult. It says you're allowed to put a bandage on your eye or on a maka, on a wound before Shabbos, and it could heal you the whole Shabbos. So this one relates to Menachem's question even more. What malacha da'oraisa are you allowed to be starting on Erev Shabbos and taking to do on Shabbos? The pashas of the Gemara of the Brises, mitzrabes, we're talking about refuah. That's the opening of malacha, which is the nisad rabbanan. That's the pashas of the Gemara. The Ritva here says, no, there's a chashash mimareach, because you must have some kind of cream underneath the bandage, and we know putting on a thick cream on Shabbos is the malacha of meirum mimareach, smoothing, and maybe that's the malacha. You're allowed to do it, and we're not choshesh that, you know, you're going to smooth it out on Shabbos. All those things are mutter from Erev Shabbos. We'll see why in a minute. But again, it could be because there's no shvisas kela, but the Gemara will discuss it. But you're not allowed to put chitim into a hand mill on Erev Shabbos unless the grinding is done from Friday. Why? My taima oma rabba mipnesha mashma'as kol. Because the mill makes a loud noise. What does that mean? So Rashi here says, five lines up from where they get wide, mipnesha mashma'as is a kol, the avsha milsa b'shabbos, the ikazilusa. Avsha milsa. That's that you might have heard. Avsha milsa, what does that mean? Literally, the thing is made known. Avsha means public. The thing is made known. This means that there is an issur d'rabbanan on Shabbos to use any loud noise-making machines. That is an issur d'rabbanan on Shabbos called Avsha milsa, this Gemara, Mibreisha Mashmas Kol. That is an issur d'rabbanan. And that is why, has even many poskim are against. Well, in the olden days, dishwashers and washing machines and dryers. Let's say I'm going to put stuff in the dryer right before Shabbos. I know we pass on like Beis Hillel, Shvisas Kalim is Mutter, which we're gonna get to. So why can't I put stuff in the dryer Erev Shabbos? There's a separate issue called Avsha Milsa. Any machine of mine that makes a noise, so that's why one is not allowed to use that on Shabbos. Or Moshe even has a tshuva about a large alarm clock. If you have an alarm clock, let's say you set your alarm that goes off after 20 seconds, because you want to wake up for Minyan. So if it's so loud that you hear it in three rooms over in the house, that could also be a problem of Avsha Milsa. It's of your machine, besides the regular Shabbos clock issue, which Ramosh is against, but if it only is heard in your room, that's not a loud noise. But if it's your machine, it could be, I'm not saying it is an issue, but it could be an issue. What about Bizman Azeb, where you have some silent dishwashers? Again, the poskim really haven't taken to that argument. But that is the issue of Avsha Milsa. There is an important shuva that we discussed a couple of years ago from the Tzitz Eliezer, where he talks about, relates to this Gemara, what about sprinklers? Must have been a big problem, it sounds like, from the shuva of using sprinklers on Shabbos. Turning on a sprinkler on Shabbos is an issur d'oraisa of Zoreya, every little piece of drop of water that comes down. So he was asked, what about setting a sprinkler on a Shabbos clock? Is that a problem of Avsha Milsa? So he says... He says two important points. He says, number one, he says, a sprinkler doesn't really make noise.
That's why. No. It's seen. It's a nirin velo nishma'in. And he says that's not included in the gzeira of Avshe Milsa. He says nishma, this is to make the machines that could be heard, but not machines that could be seen. And therefore, he matirs setting a sprinkler on a Shabbos clock, because there's only a problem of machines that could be heard and not that could be seen. And then he even adds, number two, he says, everybody's going to know that this, part of the issue of Avshe Milsa is that they're going to think that you put the start of this machine on Shabbos. So everybody's going to know this, that this is something that has to happen on a daily basis. Therefore, people are going to realize that you probably set it up in a way that, is mutter. He says, it's best to put a little petek that says, this sprinkler works like they shaon Shabbat. I mean, sometimes we have our sprinkler systems that, you know, go on through two to four in the morning that, by themselves. Do you have to make sure that it's not done on Shabbos? Maybe a l'chila, yes, but meikar adin, it is mutter. And then at the end of the tshuva, he says, and be mefarsing this heter, because there are many of my Israeli brethren that don't know this heter, and they're just going to turn it on Shabbos anyway, because they're going to do it. So if you don't give them a heter, they're going to do it anyway. So be mefarsing this heter to make sure they know that they can do this heter, because then at least they're going to know they're going to have a way out, so therefore they're going to do it this way. So that's what he writes at the end of the tshuva. Yeah.
How do these big hotels that serve their meals on Shabbos and Yom Tov to 1,000 people, they got to be using a washing machine, a dishwasher. It can't be that they have a bunch of people sitting, I can't imagine they sit there. So they're obviously using a machine on Shabbos to...
Okay, it's an issue. Again, it could be, I'm not to look into it more, but it could be that if you tell a non-Jew to wash something for you, and you don't tell him how to wash it, you'd rather he wash it in the sink, looks like your hot water, cold water issue, so that it could be there's more of a leniency. But again, you have to look into it. I'm not a mashgiach, I'm not in for caterers, but you have to look into it. Okay. Amar Rav Yosef, I have enough on my plate right now. Thank you. Amar Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef, so we have this brisa that says that all these things you're allowed to do, but you're allowed to do before Shabbos, except the last thing about starting this handmill that makes noise. Amar Rav Yosef, v'lema mar mishim shvisas kelim. So why does the last line of the brisa say that the iser to put wheat into your handmill is also because of the noise issue? Why isn't it also because of Shvisas Kalim? As we mentioned, that your kli has to rest on Shabbos. The assumption so far, we're going to have 2 days in the Gemara. The assumption of the first day is that, you know, this price holds of that concept. The Tanya, the Chol Shemati Alechem Tishameiru, Pasuk, that in Parshas Mishpatim, that everything that I've said to you, you shall guard. L'rabo Shvisas Kalim. That Pasuk is including Shvisas Kalim. So therefore, Elam Rabbi Yosef, because Rabbi Yosef had this problem, he changes it. The reason for the last line, the handmill, is Mishum Shvisas Kalim. So then, the Gemara says, the Hashad Amr Beis Hill is Lushvisas Kalim, Da'oraisa. If it's true that the reason in this Braisa is called the Shvisas Kalim, that's why you can't put the wheat in the handmill. And we know, Rashi explains here, that the author of this Mishnah seems to be, the author of this Braisa seems to be Beis Hillel, because he allows you to do certain things Erev Shabbos. And Beis Shammai doesn't allow you to do anything. So if the author is Mishum Beis Hillel, and that he holds that the concept of the Isser, of Shvisas Kalim, that your Kalim have to rest on Shabbos, not just you, not just your family, not just your animals, but also your Kalim, so then why the first case is in the Brais of Mutter? Gafris v'mugmar my time asharu. So why the case is, remember where you put the spice, the sweet-smelling things on the fire, and it goes up into the Kalim, into the clothing, why is that Mutter? Isn't that an Isser Shvisas Kalim? The Gemara says, now, no! Even if Beis Hillel holds of the Isser Shvisas Kalim, there's a limit. What type of kalim? Mishum delo ka'avid ma'isa. If the kli is not doing anything, it's just sitting there, it's passive, right? A pot, a fire. There's no action happening with the kli. So even Beis Hillel would say that there is no problem with Shvisas Kalim there. He only holds there's a problem with Shvisas Kalim if there's an active action kli. Gemara continues, Udin shall fish in my time is sharu. So again, why are you allowed to put the bundle of flax into the pot? Again, Mishum delo ka'avid ma'isa. Because there's omeinach naicha. It's just resting in the pot. It's not, there's no action being accomplished by the kli. Mitzudas chayva ofid dogim to ka'avid ma'isa my time usharu. What about traps? Right, in the Mishnah. In the Mishnah it said you're allowed to put out traps. What do you mean a trap? You know, the mouse goes in and the thing flicks and it goes over. That's active. So how could Beis Hillel matir traps if he holds of the concept of Shvisas Kalim when the Kli is active? So where does it know? Hasam Nami, Balechi, Bekukri, Delokav, and Maisa. What he allows are traps that are going to work on Shabbos that don't do an action. Right? Sometimes traps, let's say you set up a trap of a hole in the ground and then the animal falls in. Right? So there's no action being done by the Kli. Or flypaper. You hang up a flypaper. There's no action. The fly comes, boom, it gets stuck. Right? So as we were talking yesterday, what about a zapper? Is a zapper called an osamaisa or not? Right, the things that zap the bugs. I'm not sure if that's osa maisa. It's kind of passive, but then, you know, it's if you ask the bug, it'll say that it's kavan maisa. But I'm not sure. Fine. So that's all approach number one. That maybe even Beis Hillel agrees to the concept of Shvisas Kalim when the Kli is kavan maisa. But now we have day number two. V'hashadam Raboshi Amar Avasi Mantan Shvisas Kalim Daraisa Beis Shammai Hiva Lo Beis Hillel. But according to the second opinion, Beis Hillel disagrees on the whole concept of Shvisas Kalim. Your Kalim are allowed to do work for you on Shabbos. Again, as long as you said it before Shabbos. Remember, I forgot to mention, for example, like setting your lights going on Shabbos, right? The Sitz Eliezer and the Tshuva talks about that. There's no noise there. There's a click. There's no noise when the light goes on. The minute Golem is Lahakel. Against Ramosha. Ramosha says it's against Shabbos clocks in general. But, right, so why is that mutter? According to Beis Shammai, there's an Isser of Shvisas Kalim. So even turning on Shabbos could be a problem. But we pass on like Beis Hillel. Beis Hillel argued on the whole concept. So according to that, look, Beis Shammai being kavod maisa, being to lo kavod maisa asur. Beis Shammai says it's asur no matter what, even if the kli does not do an action. Look, Beis Hillel avagav the kavod maisa shari, and Beis Hillel mathers everything. So if that's true, v'hajad amr lo Beis Shammai avagav the lo kavod maisa asur. So if Beis Shammai argues with everything, and therefore he must be the author of this brisa, because there are certain Isurim involved. According, if you say that the reason for the handmill is Shvisas Kalim, so the author of the Brisa must be Beis Shammai. So if that's true, then why does he matter the earlier cases? Ihachi Mugmar Begafres Maitam Ashara Beis Shammai. So why, in the cases of the Brisa, the earlier cases, does Beis Shammai matir putting these spices on the fire? We're saying if the author of the Brisa is Beis Shammai, who says all cases of Shvisas Kalim are Asur, then why are those cases mutter? To put before Shabbos. So Gemara says, no, hasa menach ara, manach ara. No, those cases, there's no kli. There's no kli involved. There's a fire on the ground. You put this stuff in the fire, and it's going to go up to make your clothing smell nice. So there's no issue with Shvisas Kalim there, because there's no kli. The fire's on the ground. Gemara says, 1 second, what about Gigis, Viner, Vikadera, Ushpod, Maitam Ashara Beis Shammai? What do you mean? If you have a pot that's left on a fire, put in your oven before Shabbos. We're going to get to all the issues of Yisrael, the Rabban, and Abishal. But let's say you put a pot, a shpod is a thing for a barbecue, or a kadera pot, or candle. All these things, or gigas. Gigas, Rashi explains that there's a beer maker, a brewer, who has to soak his barley in the liquid, you know, for like more than a week. So, in order to make the beer. So, it's going to have to be a Shabbos in an 8-day process. So in all these cases, so why isn't there an Isser Shvisas Kalim according to Beis Shammai? According to Beis Shammai, I guess you can't be a brewer. And what about lighting a candle? What about lighting a candle in your Shabbos licht? Right? You're lighting a candle, so now your kli is helping something burn. It's holding up the candle. Or a kneer, a pot on the fire. Well, we all leave stuff on fire. It's cooking it. So why are all those cases mutter according to Beis Shammai? Shvisas Kalim. So Gemara says a tremendous chiddush. Demafker luhu afkure. No, it's an umdana. There's an umdana. We evaluate a person's mind. It must be that he's mafkir. He says it doesn't belong to me. These kalim, and even though it's in my stuff, it's a hefker. I guess the assumption is that there's an automatic zechiyah right after Shabbos. But because the halacha does not allow you to have kalim do work for you on Shabbos, the Gemara says there's an umdana demafkir luhu afkure, that he's mafkir Rashi v'shuvenim mitzuv al shvisasan. The third skinny line of Rashi. Right, so that's the Ukimta, says the Gemara. In all the cases that are problematic, according to Beis Shammai, which ain't bravery, you don't have a choice, this is how we live. We light candles, and we cook food on Shabbos, we heat up food on Shabbos, and we do these things, so what does he do? So the answer is, it must be that he's mafka the kalim. He's mafka the kalim all the time. What do you mean? Right, but what do you mean, during the week, or? Right, so I guess it's only allowed, let's do Tosfos, and as we'll see, it's only allowed because it's Ein Breira. It's not allowed because Stama, you want to. Tosfos asks here, Avagav, Tosfos demafkara. Avagav, Dharma bin Adaram, Dimina, Hefker, Bifin, Gimel. Usually for Hefker, you need in front of three people. To be mafker Stama, you have to be in front of a Bezdin. This issue is brought up on Pesach. According to Rishonim, who say Bittel is Hefker, we do Bittel in our own home. So that's how some Rishonim say Bittel can't be Hefker. Because of that. Let's just finish the Tosfos. Hakla lo be'inan, but here you don't need three for the Hefker. The mistama mafker lahu. Because there's an umdana. There's a real, we know that he's Hefker. Usually you need three just to make sure it's gonna happen. But here we know for sure. The ain lismo chal zel hasker sus lanachri lahafker. So hakha shiny mishum delo efshar be'inan achar. You don't allow Hefker like this in other contexts, because this is just efshar. So I think, so that would answer you the same way here. This isn't, You can't always do this. You know, I want this to happen on Shabbos. I'm just going to be mafkarit. It's only we allow it because of this dire situation. You don't have any other choice. But it is still a chiddush. Again, the assumption is that you're going to be zochit, you know, right after Shabbos. The Rashba's lashon here is hefker bezdin. Right? So maybe you don't need three because it's a hefker bezdin. It's not a hefker of a yachid. So therefore it would be mutter. Yeah. Okay, there is an issue. It could have to work on a davar shebishuscha. But again, here, I guess the rules are broken because you don't have so much of a choice. Okay, third line. Man tana lo hadatana rabbanan. Who is the author of the following brisa? Lo samali isha kadeira asasios v'termes v'itiniach l'toch hataner erev shabbat echashecha. A woman shouldn't fill her pots with beans, with barley, and put it inside the oven right before Shabbos. V'im nasan. If she put it right before Shabbos, lo mosi Shabbos asur b'chle shiyasu. If you put it in before Shabbos, then you're not allowed to have it on Shabbos for sure. Right? That's called Maisa Shabbos. If a malacha was done for me on Shabbos, I'm not allowed to benefit from that malacha on Shabbos. And in certain cases, I'm not allowed to even benefit after Shabbos until I wait the amount of time that it could have taken to do the malacha after Shabbos. That's called Bechdei Sheyasu. With enough time that it could have been done on Motzi Shabbos. So that's what it says here. Vim Nasnan, if I put it in the Motzi Shabbos, Asur and Bechdei Sheyasu, it's Asur. And the amount of time that's needed to make it, kayotzibo, or right, the nachtum, the baker can't put a barrel of water into an oven to heat it up on Friday. And if he did, it's aser until Motzi Shabbos. Are these brises which are anonymous like Beis Shammai? Because we're talking about cases where what's happening here? You're putting something into an oven before Shabbos. So isn't that an issue of Shvisas Kalim? And these are anonymous. We'd rather not say that like, they're Beis Shammai, but maybe are these Beis Shammai? Because you're putting something into an oven before Shabbos. Isn't there an issue? This is purely an issue of Shvisas Kalim. Says the Gemara, very important, which we're going to have a lot. Afilu tema Beis Hillel. No, these cases might even be Beis Hillel. And Beis Hillel asers you from putting pots directly into an oven before Shabbos. Not because of Shvisas Kalim, but why? Shema Gzeira Shema Yachate Bikacholim. Maybe if you're allowed to put something in the oven right before Shabbos, it might be that on Shabbos itself you'll see it's not cooking quick enough for you, and therefore you will stoke the coals in order to hasten its cooking, and that's why Beis Shammai, even Beis Hillel would forbid you to do this on Erev Shabbos. This is going to be the major issue of the third parak about Shehi and Hachzara. We'll get to the beginning of the third parak of Shabbos, but here we're having a little glimpse of it. So maybe even Beis Hillel would agree in this case. Generally, there's no issue of Shvisas Kalim. But in these cases, by Bishul, where you might stoke the coals, so then it's a problem. Ask the Gemara, Ihachi, Mugmar v'Gafris, Nami Ligzar. So what about the cases of Mugmar and Gafris, where you're putting the spices on the bottom, on the fire, in order for the smoke to make your clothing smell nice? So why does Beis Hillel matter that? What about Shem Yechate? The Gzair, you might stoke the coals. So the Gemara said, no, Hasam lo machti luhu. There, we're not choshish that you're going to stoke the coals. The machti salik v'kutra v'kashi luhu. Because stoking the coals is going to cause more smoke. And you don't want more smoke on your clothes. That's going to make your clothing smell of smoke. So therefore, there's no chash that you're going to shem yechate, because in those cases, stoking the coals will really make things worse. The Gemara says that unin shal pishta nami lugzar. So what about the bundle of flax in the pot? Also there, shouldn't you be worried that we're going to stoke the coals? Why does Beis Hillel matter that? So the Gemara says again, awesome, even the kashi luhuzika lo maglile. There, because a little draft, a little wind getting in, is going to cause more harm than help. Again, we're not choshish that you're going to stoke the coals. Again, this is going to be a very important halacha lemaisa. The Gemara seems to be saying, anytime that there's a reason for us to believe that a person won't do stoking the coals, won't be shem yechate, so then we would matir it. Semer liyora ligzar, what about semer, wool into a pot, ligzar, we should make a gzera there too, that you might stoke in order to make it happen faster. Omer, shmuel, but yorakura, no, there's no coals there. We're talking about putting it into a boiling hot pot that's already off the fire. That's what you're not allowed to do, which is still an isidaraisa, as we're going to talk about Bezrem tomorrow, I guess, Bilcha Shabbos. But, so it says there's no fire there. That's why you're allowed to put the wool into the pot before Shabbos. Because there's no fire on the bottom. The Gemara says, V'necha Shema Megisba. Why aren't we worried that you're going to stir it? Tomorrow, Megis is a major part of the shir. But Megis, just for now, means stirring it. Stirring it is also causing it to cook quicker. So says the Gemara, so what is off the fire? Why aren't we worried that you won't stoke the coals, but you're going to mix it and cause it to cook faster? The Gemara says, no, but Akura V'tocha is off the fire and it is totally sealed shut. The cover is sealed shut and everything, the oven is sealed closed. So we're not worried that you're going to come and stoke or mix because you're going to have to do so much to open it, to open the oven. It's going to be such a tircha. You're going to realize, you're going to remember before you stoke that it is Shabbos. Fine. V'hashta d'amar mar gzeirah shemichat b'gechalim. Now that we have brought up this issue that putting things on in an oven, on a fire before Shabbos, we have to be worried about shemichat b'gechalim, that one might stoke the coals and therefore one might have to take precautions, which we'll learn about. This is the whole issue of a blath. This is the whole issue of covering things with tinfoil. This issue of Shem Yechata Begachalim. So says the Gemara, I have an option. I have a simple option that'll save some problems. Hai Kedera Chaisa, Shari La Anucha Erev Shabbos Mechashecha Betanura. I'm allowed to put a totally uncooked raw item into an oven on Erev Shabbos. Why? Let's say a totally raw piece of steak. My timer, Kivan de Lachazi Lo Urta, since it's not going to be ready until the next morning anyway, I have a hezekadat. I'm not going to stoke the coals, because even if I stoke, it's not going to get ready by tonight. And if I don't stoke, it's going to be ready by tomorrow morning anyway. So it says the Gemara, if you put, this is called Kedera Chaisa, if you put something totally raw into the oven right before Shabbos, there's no issue of Shemichat HaBegachalim, because there's no Chash, Miman of Shach. It's not going to be ready by tonight, and by tomorrow morning it's going to be ready even without stoking. So that's the heter called Kedera Chaisa. We'll talk about it in a minute more. Ubashil shaper dummy. But if something is totally cooked, also no problem. Kedera chais is not a problem because you're not going to stoke. If something is totally cooked, so you don't have to make it cook faster. So again, it's not a problem. We're going to have to talk about what if it's totally cooked but it gets better. What's called mistamik viyafilo. The Ritva here says it's mashma that it's mutter. But we'll talk about it. Bashil velo bashil asr. So what's the case that's asr? The case that's semi-cooked but not fully cooked. That's where we have to be worried about this issue of Shem Yechate. But even if it's only semi-cooked, if you throw in a raw bone, a garmachaya, again, that'll have the heter of Kedera Chaisa.
Why is it mashma here that you're allowed to, it's something that's fully cooked, but it might get better that you're allowed to do it. It's just the opposite. It's mashma from here that you're not allowed to do it because you would have a reason.
Okay, in a chinami, but he just gets it from the Gemara. The Gemara says, Ubashil, if it's cooked already, Rashi says, Mevushelis kolt sarcha. It's ready, Mevushel kolt sarcha. You can have a concept. In a chinami. So I don't know if it's so mashed from the Gemara, from Rashi, because Rashi says, Bashil means Mevushel kolt sarcha. Mevushel kolt sarcha, you can still have the concept of getting better afterwards. Shaper dummy. Oh, so this is the heter of Kedera Chaisa. So this is a heter. The Gemara quotes it. The Shulchan Aruch quotes it. Everybody quotes this heter. Putting something in right before Shabbos, forget the blech, forget everything. It's mutter. But the Achronim say that it's not mutter b'zman hazeh. Again, this is something we'll discuss. Probably won't get this till after the summer in the Hilcha Shabbos Yerim. But there are two major reasons why the Achronim say this heter doesn't apply anymore. Rav Yashiv is quoted in the Otzus HaShabbos. He says the reason is because our ovens are so much hotter than the olden days. There's nothing. What, you're going to put something into the oven on right before Shabbos? It's not going to be ready till the next morning? What do you mean? Even if you put in a raw cholent, you put it in right before Shabbos. Give it 5 hours. That's going to be edible. It's going to be ready. It's not going to be tomorrow morning. The olden days, it wasn't so hot. So the whole heter, our ovens are much hotter. A. B, Rav Henkin says, there's another reason why you can't use this heter b'zman hazeh. Because we make Shabbos early. We make Shabbos 20 minutes early. So therefore, if you put in something the second before Shabbos, that's what the Gemara is talking about, where it really is not going to get a chance to cook. But in our day and age, when do we put the, we put the stuff up right at lich benching, we put food into the oven 18 minutes. We put stuff in an hour before Shabbos, let's say. So by the time Shabbos comes, it's going to be pretty edible already. Even if it's totally, it might be rare, it might be not well done, but it'll be somewhat done. So anyway, halacha l'maisa, the Kedera Chaisa heter is usually most Muslims say is not to be used because of these two sars. Let's finish a little bit. The Hasha Damar Mar. So again, there's a lot more to say on this, on what we've just said, but you know we'll have to save it for a future date. About 2 more minutes. The Hasha Damar Mar called Midi de Kashi Lezika Lo Maglule. Now that we have said that any time that a draft will hurt the fire, then you won't come to reveal it, and therefore there's not going to be an issue of Shemi Yachate. So then we have cases. Hi Bisra de Gadi of a Sharik Shaper Dummy. If you have a basar of a Gadia, of a Gedi, that's very soft basar, which a person does not want to open the flame by that busser. Visharik, and it's a sealed oven. So if it's Gadia Visharik, those are two reasons why we assume the person is not going to open the oven and stoke the coals. Because it's totally sealed, so he's going to remember beforehand, and it's very tender meat. Because of those two, so that's why Shaper Dummy, for sure you could put it on, and you don't have to be worried. But what about the opposite? Debarcha velo sharik aser. Debarcha, if you have this very strong piece of meat, velo sharik, and the oven is not sealed, aser, then it's going to be aser, because you're going to be worried that you're going to stoke the coals. These are two reasons to be worried, because it's not sealed, and it's a hard piece of meat. Degadia velo sharik, debarcha visharik, what if you only have one? If you have a soft piece of meat, but it's not a sealed oven, or it's a sealed oven, but it's a piece of meat that the draft won't hurt it. So you only have one reason. So Ravashi Shari, Rav Yirmiyah Midifti Usr. So the machlokas between Ravashi and Rav Yirmiyah, whether that will be Usr or Mutter. Ulu Ravashi the Shari. But according to Ravashi, who says that it's Mutter to leave it on before Shabbos, Vahatanaba, we learned on the next Amud, Va'ain Solin Basar or Basal Basal Al-Kadeshi Silimi Bojom. We learned in the Mishnah later on that you can't put food right before Shabbos onto the fire. So according to Ravashi, it's mutter. You don't have to be worried about things. Hasam debarcha velo sharik. No, there is talking about a case that is very hard meat that is not sealed, meaning you're not worried about the draft there. And there is a chashash that you might come to stoke. So that case is different than the case that Ravashi matters. Now let's just do the next four lines. Is the same sugya, just switched around in order. Iga da Amri, a different version of this, is the following. Tegadya, a little goat, which we said a person does not want to open the oven, so we wouldn't have a chash of Shemi Yachata, Bein Sharik, Bein Lon Sharik, Shopper Dummy, whether the oven is sealed or not, just the fact that it's that piece of meat, which a person will not want to open it and have a draft, that's enough to say that it's mutter. You don't have to be worried about Shemi Yachata. Tabarchanami, Bisharik, Shopper Dummy. And even if it's a hard piece of meat, Tabarchanami, where you are not worried about the draft, Visharik, but if the oven is sealed shut, Shopper Dummy. Again, according to everybody, even if you only have one reason telling us that you're not going to open the oven, that's good enough. Keep pleading. The machlokas is if you have two lereusa, if you have two reasons that are saying this person might not care and he might open the oven. The barcha velo sharik, the Rav Ashi sharvi, Rav Yirmiyah Midifti Usr. And in that case, is a machlokas. And Rav Ashi there for even matirs in a case where we really think that he might open the oven. So if that's true, then we're back to the question from the next daf. Rav Ashi, the sharvi, vatani, solon, baso, basal, basal, glishi, sulimi, bojom. The next Mishnah on the next Amid says it's mutter. Has said it's usher, so how could Rav Ashi say it's mutter? So hasa, bebisra gumri. No, there is different because it's talking about mamish meat on coals. It's not even in an oven. So you're not even going to have to open an oven at all. It's mamish right, the coals are right in front of you, so that's why there we're worried, and we're not worried in the case that Rav Ashi matters. Amar Avina, hai krachaya, last two lines, hai krachaya shopper dummy. If you have a raw pumpkin or melon, shopper dummy, there's no problem to cook that on Shabbos, from Erev Shabbos. Kiva Takashi Laziga Kibisra Degadi Dummy, because drafts hurts the cooking of this meat, so that's why, again, we're not going to be worried that you're going to open the oven. It's like Bisra Degadi, it's like that soft, tender piece of meat. We're not worried if there's not going to be an issue of Shema Yechatem. Okay, we'll stop here, and Hashem will continue. So Yeshia was Lelech Nishmas Yitzchak Ben Shlomo Yehuda.
We're not worried about Masa Benjur's site.
What are you worried about Masa Benjur's site?